Let you take your hymnal, turn to page 352, Like a River Glorious.
Evening. I think that this song is written based on one of my favorite portions of scripture, Isaiah 26. The heart that is stayed upon Jehovah is fully blessed and secure and safe and happy. We're thankful for those precious promises that are in Christ. We thank Him for His grace, which is to us bestowed. His love is bestowed upon us, and we're just grateful for all that He does for us as His people and our God. This scriptures, I believe it's Deuteronomy, says, our God is not like their God, as they so readily confess, that He's different, but He is God and there's none like Him. We continue to pray for those that are sick and for those that are getting better. We're thankful for. We pray for Paul and Ree and others that are sick, people that have lost loved ones, and enduring trials and afflictions that may be unknown to us, but if they're His people especially, they're known to the Lord, and we pray for them, and especially in these times in which we live, where I have more questions that seems than answers. And I just pray the Lord to help us and manifest himself to us. Cause us to know to some degree what it is he's seeking to accomplish. Let's bow for prayer. Our Lord, we bow in thy presence. We know that wherever we might go, we'd be in your presence. But I pray tonight that we might be able to bow in thy known, sure, and manifested presence. That we might come before you as your people. That we might bow our hearts and offer up thanksgiving and praise in the name of our great mediator and high priest, thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we just mentioned, Lord, we do not know all about all that's going on in this earth and all that's going on in our individual lives and among the lives of your people. But we are assured in your word that you are working all things after the wise and good counsel of your will. There is nothing outside of your will. There is no loose ends, and most especially no loose individuals. You rule, Lord, among the angels and such of heaven, and also among the inhabitants on this earth. And that is our consolation and our peace and our joy as we seek to live here and endure the things of this life. We praise you for revealing to us your Son and your precious gospel, the good news of your salvation, the good news of his work of righteousness, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection of life, and his enthronement. Lord, we thank you that you make known to your people that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we rejoice in that. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it. And we ask for these that are sick that we have mentioned and much more, especially, Lord, your people. They're all over this earth. They're out of every nation, tribe, and kindred. They have various afflictions and trials of life and are in various situations. But they are nonetheless your people, redeemed by the blood of Christ and kept by your power through faith, unto that salvation that is yet to be revealed, totally and finally and completely and eternally. We ask, Lord, tonight that you would forgive us of our great failures and sin. Cause us to know your forgiveness, your pardon, your redemption by the blood of Christ. We ask for your people and your servants everywhere as they seek to worship you and spread your gospel. May everything that we do be to your glory and to your honor and according to your word. Please, Lord, receive our feeble thanks for your goodness to us, for your provision and protection, for all that you do in working all things together for good, to them that love you, to them that are the called according to your purpose. Help us, Father, tonight as we seek to speak in your name. We know, Lord, that the best thing we could do would be to say simply the things that you've already said and to repeat them for your people, before your people, to their comfort and joy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 347. Not what these hands have done.
This door.
with me just a bit to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. Somebody has called this book the book of better things, better promises, better covenant, better blood, better priest. Hebrews chapter 2. I've called this tonight, When the Devil Rattles His Chains. When the Devil Rattles His Chains. I've thought a lot lately about how the multitudes of people, millions of people, in a country such as ours and throughout the world, could, by the decree of politicians, those who have lied to us so many times, those we know to be corrupt, how they could issue orders and we could be driven to wear masks which we hate, stay inside and quarantine ourselves for months, lay down our work that we do for our livelihood, and now take a vaccine that was hurriedly developed by the pharmaceutical companies who've proven themselves just to make money. It's amazing. And I've also concluded that it could be brought about only by one thing, and that is fear. That is fear. And it is a particular fear, I believe, that brings it all about, makes it all possible, is the means by which these accomplish such things. It is the fear of death. The fear of death. I'm not going to go into the cause of death much tonight because we know it. In this place, at least, we know it. It is because of sin. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. It also says sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And we know it came about through the fall of our federal head and the father of our race, naturally, Adam, when he sinned and took upon himself to eat of the fruit forbidden by God in the garden. You can read about it in Romans 5 so clearly. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, For that all sinned. All sinned. We are born in sin. We not only fell in sin in Adam, but we are born in sin. And we possess a nature of sin. The consequences of sin will be with us as long as we are on this earth. But what I want us tonight to do, I want to remind the Lord's people. I want to remind believers to look upon these things not with feelings, but with faith. We're not to look upon these things with feelings necessarily, but we're to look with faith. We're to remember God's word. We're to listen afresh to God's gospel, and we are to believe what Christ, our Savior, did for us when He died. When He died. And this is recorded here in Hebrews chapter 2, in that which the apostle sets forth concerning Christ's children, or His brethren, or His friend, His elect, as they are set forth here. And in verse 14 he says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," he knows what we are, "because He also Himself took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The apostle speaks here of those who all their lifetime have this fear of death. And he speaks here of the devil and the devil's chains, you might say, or bondage, his captivity that holds all men. It says that he takes them captive at his will. At his will. Even God's elect, in reality and in the minds, even though they are redeemed, oftentimes, though they believe on Christ, even as unbelievers, they can still feel this fear of death. But what Paul reminds us, if he's the writer of this book, is that the chains of the devil for God's people were removed for us when Christ died for our sins on the cross. So that no chains concerning this
are actually upon us in any way is before God, before His justice. Rather, now the Bible says that Satan is the one who's bound. The Lord's people are not in bondage to this fear of death. No, rather, Satan now is bound by God and can only do, as he always has, that which God allows him to do. But, and if you can picture this, the devil, he's a real creature. If you can picture him, God having transferred change to him, and sometimes when he rattles his chains, it reminds us of the bondage and the fear of death that we've been under all our days. You see, these chains are only removed in our minds. Just like when God saved us through the death of Christ, that was a reality, although we did not experience the knowledge and the joy and the faith in it until we were born here and He came to us by His Spirit giving us life and faith. But our believing didn't cause it. And in the same manner, we're delivered from death in every sense by Christ Himself, though sometimes we do not experience and realize this to the degree that it removes fear from us. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we forget what we know. Sometimes we forget what we believe. But it doesn't change the reality of it. And peace comes to our conscience and to our hearts and mind when the Spirit of God takes the gospel and shows us and reminds us of what He did and enables to believe it again. But often between those times, we have fear. Just like when Paul was sent by God down to Corinth to preach. Paul, the mighty man, Paul, the great preacher of the gospel, but he was a little afraid. And so that's why God said, "Fear not, for I have much people in this city." In other words, there is now no reason before God, no reason according to His word and the work of Christ, there's no reason for God's delivered and redeemed ones to fear death. To fear death. We're going to die. I don't know if you realize that. I'm realizing it more and more with every day I live. I see myself, in a sense, already dying. We're going to die. And the Bible says that it is God who has appointed the time of our death. It is appointed unto men once to die. You can't speed it up. You can't stop it. You can't alter it in any way because He has not only appointed. Now, if He works all things after the counsel of His will, He does as a sovereign Lord what He will, when he will, to whom he will, and how he will. He's not only appointed the time of our departure, he's appointed the instrument of it. It may be by COVID-19. I don't know. I don't know for you. I don't know for me. It may be like it was for my friend who recently was just running and died, because God appointed not only the time of his death, what seems like a fairly early death, but he also appointed the means of his death. What would it matter if it was COVID-19 or a heart attack? You see, God has appointed all things. He's appointed the time, the hour of our death, and the instrument and the circumstances. But yet we live in this flesh, and we fear the uncertain. We fear the unknown. But we are to be comforted and therefore be fearless by what we know and what is certain. I never forget reading many years ago some old preacher and writer, and he gave me advice that I will never forget in this life that's helped me so many times. He said, never let what you don't know become the enemy of what you do know. There are many things that are in our eyes uncertain. There are many things to us that are unknown. But we are to live by that which is certain, by that which we know. If we're God's people, if we believe his word, if we trust his wise providence, if we rest in his son's saving work, there are some things that we know, that we are certain of, and these are the things that are used of God to comfort us. Turn over to 1 John. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look down at verse 17. He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You see, I think that's what strikes fear in the heart of men. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, it's that after this, the judgment. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There'll be a judgment. And all of God's people will not be judged on the basis of their sins. They will simply be at that judgment, which is for those outside of Christ, this world, the enemies of God. And the sentence will be pronounced on us, according to Christ. There's nothing to decide. Death will usher in the reality, the glory, the manifestation, the revealing of what God has meant to us and given to us and how He has loved us and done for us in Christ. And then he says, there is no fear in love. I don't have to fear because the Scripture tells us that God loves those who are in Christ. And then he tells us that we love him because he first loved us. He says, perfect love casteth out fear. I don't have perfect love, do you? But I know a perfect love. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God from which we cannot be separated by anything in this world or out of this world or devils or anything else, powers, principalities, because he that hath fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You see, Christ defeated him, the apostle says, that had the power of death, and he delivered us from that bondage, and he did it through his own death. Is that not what he said? No fear that we have of death is justifiable if Christ has already delivered us, who through fear of death, he's delivered us from this bondage of the devil through his death. Now, I always like the way the Scriptures put it. Men are always talking about what God will do for you in the future, what God will do for you if you'll do this. But it says that he who hung on that cross, the one who identified with us in his death, he delivered us from the fear of death. We have nothing to fear. Sometimes when the devil rattles his chains that he's in, I think we are full of fear. But we have no reason to fear. I see some of these slogans and I don't agree with most every one of them, but there's one I do agree with if it's understood, and that is those that fear God have nothing to fear. Through death, through his death, through his sacrifice. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look down at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Our bodies must be raised, because his body was raised. We must be made new, because Christ purchased for us this resurrection life. And this mortal shall put on, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The thing that we by nature fear more than anything else has been swallowed up in victory, and that victory was wrought by Christ. Note this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's the cause of it. That's the reason we fear it. That's the reason that God's justice must deal with it. And the strength of sin is the law. But note verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be thanked, and it is to be recognized that He has given us the victory. What? Over sin, over death, over the law. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always be steadfast. Always be faithful. Always be believing. Always be comforted. Always be about the Father's business, because we know that our labor is not in vain. Death is said to be like a wasp or something that can't hurt you, harm you. It may sometimes give you fear, but its stinger has already been removed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 and verse 20. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. That's what not only Paul has, but every believer. Earnest expectation and genuine hope, which is expectation. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, disappointed, disapproved, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. This certainly is a precious verse that follows. For me to live is Christ. No matter when, no matter under what circumstances, for me to live, even in the face of the fear of death, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. The writer of Proverbs said, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." Fountain of life. Turn back to Psalm 23. Here Christ, the apostle says, has through his death removed death. Therefore, the fear of death to his people. So, Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I read that this afternoon and I thought, it doesn't say, "though I be found in the valley of the shadow of death." It sounds like to me it's a walk all the way through the valley. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, I like this language too, because I've never been hurt by a shadow yet. Never been. When I used to go in those dark alleys and such in law enforcement, sometimes I see the shadow of people and have to react and do, but I never had a shadow to hurt me. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Death's all around us in this world. That's this world. That's this life. Death's all around us. Of every kind of death, of every reason for death, of young, of old, it's just everywhere. Why? Because sinners are here. But he says this is the shadow of death. Why? Because the reality of death for the Lord's people has already been dealt with in Christ. There may be shadows that make us fearful, but they're not, these fears are not to bring us into bondage. They're just simply the devil rattling his chains. We don't have any. He says, "I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." When God put his people, each and every one of them, in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, made them one with Christ, made him their head and they the body, they'll never be separated again. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I went to the concordance, you might say, to find out something about how the rod is used in the scriptures, and just too many ways. Used as the gospel. He'll send the rod out from Zion. That's the gospel. That gospel comforts us. Sometimes it's a scepter, sign of his authority, power. Surely that comforts us. "Thy rod and thy staff,
they comfort us. And it's always through Him. For Thou art with me. The Bible says in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And I've thought about that. How could the death of a sinner be precious in the sight of the Lord? And I believe it's this reason. Because the death of Christ is their death in the sight of the Lord. They've already died in Him. They've already been delivered from the bondage of death, from the fear of death. They're already safe in Him. So death for them becomes like a boat by which they sail into eternity in the presence of God. Just a vehicle. It's like a door that they walk through to find a palace inside. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to let the events of this world, which remind us continually of our frailty and our sinfulness and the fact that we deserve to die the death. But when He rattles the chains, God help us to remember that we don't have any. We don't have to fear death because death is no more for us, this kind of death. He that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that, Christ said? Looking to Christ, believing what God has said about us and His mercy to us and His grace in Christ crucified, we're not waiting for death. We're waiting for glory. We're waiting for our Savior. And He will come. And when He comes, it will be quite different than when He came the first time. He'll come in His glory with all the holy angels. Nobody will wonder who He is. Nobody will ever be able to do anything but what He commands and what He's purposed. When He comes, He'll manifest His bride. It'll be like that bride walking out in the bridal march. So the bride says, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." But until You come, help us not to be governed by this hysteria, by this fear, which is simply the fear of death. Help us to be prudent. But don't let us fear. Father, we thank You tonight that You have given to Your people the victory in Christ Jesus. the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Yea, even the victory over the fear of death, which held us in bondage all our lifetime. Fix our eyes, our confidence, our hope on Christ. For we pray and we ask all things and receive all things in Him. Amen.